This morning, I want to look at a few verses in the end of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. About five verses there at the end, starting in verse 53. We'll just start reading there. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." I'm going to, I guess, take a thought today from that last verse in the 58th. "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And I guess if I had a thought or a message thought today, or a title, it would be "The Power of Unbelief." I got to reading and thinking about this. I know for the past couple of weeks, at least, I've been talking about faith, and in many of the things that I've said has brought out faith. And when we think of the word faith, we hold the word faith and the word believe in the same thoughts. They have the same type meaning, to have faith and to believe. They are pretty much synonymous with each other. Hope, all these different words. But my thoughts today, as the Lord has led me, is unbelief. That because of their unbelief, or the power of unbelief, you get to thinking about the word unbelief, and basically when you think of that word, you think it's just basically saying to God that you don't believe, even if there is proof, even if there is evidence, you just don't believe in Him. You don't believe in His saving grace. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in these things in some manner, some shape, some form, some fashion. You don't believe. I can say of a certainty here for you this morning that everyone that is in heaven will have believed. Every single solitary person that ever will make it into heaven will be a believer in Jesus Christ. And everyone that did not believe will wind up in a devil's hell that was created for the devil and his angels. Each and every one that did not believe. There are example after example and proof after proof that is given in God's Word about those that did not believe. We can go back to the very beginning, and as I was thinking about this, I mean, there's so many examples that it's hard to think about them all. But you go back into the very beginning of the book of in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. You think about Noah. You think about Noah and this book, and it said that he found grace in God's eyes. That he was a man that found grace. The Bible teaches over in Ephesians that you're saved by grace through faith. So Noah was a saved man. He was a man that believed. He believed in God. He believed that in what God had said, that it was going to rain. He lived in a time period upon this earth where it had never rained. That there was no such thing, that nobody knew anything about that. But God told him that it was going to rain, and he believed, and he prepared an ark unto the saving of his house. He prepared an ark. God gave him instructions on how to build an ark and what all he was for, all the animals that he was supposed to gather into it. He believed. He believed God. The Bible says that him, there was eight that were saved. There were eight people. Now, I don't know exactly how many people were in existence at that time. But we do know and understand by the reading of God's Word that there were people in existence. Let's just turn over and look. In the sixth chapter, you'll find this in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. We'll just start reading in the fifth verse. It says, "And I saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." So that means there was a lot of people and there was a lot of wickedness in the earth at this time while there was here on the earth. "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This was a man that believed in God. He believed what God told him. And by believing, he saved his household. He saved his household. His household was saved because he believed God. I think that it's important for us to understand ever how many people there was there, they did not survive. They were not saved. I don't know how many that number is, but I'm just going to assume that there was a great number of people at that time already present here upon this earth that did not believe. I believe that God told Noah to tell those people what was coming and to prepare themselves and to believe in God. And trust in what he said. And all those people, out of all of those people, only eight did. Only eight. And the rest of them was destroyed. The rest of them was destroyed. And that was a great number of people that died. Remember what I said at the very beginning? There are all those that are going to be in heaven are going to be the ones that have believed. Every single solitary one that has not believed will die and go to a devil's hell. Every single solitary one. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. No hope-sos or think-sos. You've either been saved by God's grace or you have not been saved by God's grace. You've either believed or you have not believed. I'm here talking about this morning the power of unbelief. What kind of damage and destruction is going to come upon all those that choose not to believe, choose not to trust in the written Word of God, that God is in control, that God is on the throne, that He sent His Son to die for the sins of mankind, and the world that chose not to believe in the words of God. They perished and they died in unbelief. You can look on through in the Bible and there's so many examples in the Old Testament. You think about the people of Israel. You think about the people of Israel and as they were had been released from their bondage of Egypt and the Pharaoh and you think about them and all of them as they wandered through that desert. And the Bible says that many perished. They never entered into the promised land. They never trusted and they never believed. Yet, God went before them and by night as a pillar of fire and by day as a cloud. He provided them their food and their water. He rescued them. He parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross across the Red Sea on dry ground. There was miracle after miracle that allowed them to see and know and understand there was an almighty and powerful God that was leading them and directing them and pointing them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land where they would be blessed, a land of their very own. And yet, all but two perished in the desert. Why? Why did they perish? Because of their unbelief. Because they chose not to believe in God. They chose not to look and see the miracles and the things and the happenings that had gone on right before their very eyes. They chose not to trust in Him and believe in Him, and they perished in the desert. They perished in the desert. Lord didn't want it that way. He doesn't want anybody here today to die and go to a devil's hell. I say this all the time, that He would have all men to come unto repentance, that they might be saved. Had He not wanted you to be saved and be in heaven one day when you pass on from this fleshly body into another state, then Jesus would have never came. Jesus would have never came. He would have never died on the cross for you. He would have never paid a sin debt for you. He would have never done all the things that He did so you might believe and trust in Him. But there's going to be a world of people one of these days when this world ends. They're going to be in the same boat of each and every one that I've mentioned thus far. They're going to be in that state of unbelief. They're going to be in a state that, wow, I heard about Jesus. I even had somebody preach to me about Him one time. I had a preacher tell me about Jesus, that He died for me, that He loved me. And I believe that when each and every person, that when they enter into the doors of hell, into the gates of hell, and their eyes are open, and I believe those sermons that comes back that has been preached to them, that they should believe and trust in Jesus with all their heart, is going to haunt them for eternity. It's going to haunt them. It's going to hang with them. How long is eternity? How long does eternity last? It lasts forever. There is no end. It will haunt them forever and ever and ever and ever. You look over here and you think about, here was you think about Elijah. There was a group of 450 false prophets that was worshiping and sacrificing to Baal. And he come in and he wanted them to believe in the one true God. And so they set up and they had a contest, if you want to call it. Said all those that will believe whichever one that the Lord brings down fire from heaven and offers up this sacrifice, then you believe in that God. Whether it's the God of all the 450 prophets of Balaam or if it's my God. And most of us know the story that, you know, those 450 prophets, they cried and moaned and they prayed and they wept and they got no answer from their God, from their false God. They got no answer. They cut on themselves and they did all sorts of things and they got no answer. And Elijah took and had a ditch and he filled it up with wood and he had them to pour water on the wood and he had to lay the sacrifices on top of the wood, and it was laying there in water, and it said that the fire went
It just sucked that water up out of that ditch, and it that made that sacrifice a burnt offering unto the Lord. Why? So people would believe. All 450 of those false prophets that chose, that they died that day in unbelief. And all those that were around and watching, that chose not to believe in Elijah's God, they died in unbelief.
Over in this, thirteenth chapter of the book of Matthew, there are many parables that is written. This was what I have read here was the very ending of it. But there was a reason for all these different things that was written out here. In this 13th chapter, there is the parable of the sower. And I know I've preached this, and I may have preached it recently. I don't remember. But this parable of the sower, it basically was, it's presenting to people that your heart is the ground and the word is the seed that goes into the ground. And this is a man that's going out to sow his field. And where the seeds fall, those that heard and those that would receive the word, and that it would go into the good ground and that it would put forth and bring forth fruit. And all those that didn't, I believe it gives a... gives here, there's four different types of ground, and I believe in there was one type of ground that produced fruit. And I believe that was the one that believed. It gives here, I think it'd be best I just read it. Behold, a sower went out forth to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and it fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell in stony places, and they had much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, but they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I believe the Lord was, Jesus here was making clear that there are going to be a lot of people that hear but never believe. They're never going to understand. It's never going to sink into them that they need to repent and trust in Jesus. That gospel message is going to penetrate and it's going to work and it's going to have an effect on them. I believe there are those here that, like it said here, that they heard the word and it was cast to the wayside and Satan come and took it away. I believe that there might be those that hear the word and Satan will come in and hinder you and keep you from believing the truth. And you might come one time or two times, but you won't stay long enough to get it because Satan's going to intercede in your life. He's going to pull you away from the word of the truth where it won't have any effects on you. Those are the seeds that fell to the wayside. They died in unbelief. Every single solitary person where the gospel message never got in, never penetrated it, the word just fell to the wayside. Satan just pushed it off and allowed you not to take heed and believe and understand in the truth. They all perished and died in unbelief. Those that fell upon the stony places that had not much earth to grow up. You know, there are those that I believe that have heard the gospel. I believe the word might actually get to some people and it might have an effect on some people. But with their pride, with the way that they may have been raised in another religion or another type of thought as a way of salvation. They may, whatever it might be, there's something that is standing in their way that's not enabling them to believe in the truth of Jesus. It's not, it just will not let them bow down and seek God. It won't let them. Why? Because it's in their mind.
They never can get past their mind to give it over to God and trust in Him and seek Him. They never could do that. And then you got those that was so when the sun was up and they were scorched and they had no root, they withered away. And then those that fell among the thorns and sprung up and choked them out. The world. You know, there are a lot of people in the world with good intentions. There's a lot of people that goes out and they want to go to church and they want to have the best intentions in the world and they want to do what's good and what's right. Then they just all of a sudden, things get so busy, they get caught up in the world and they just don't go no more. They never finish what they started. They never continue to do what they know they needed to do to begin with, to go and hear the truth and to hear the Word of God and that it would have its effects on them, to just go in with an open heart and an open mind and believe and trust in Jesus that He might save their soul. They get sucked up by the world and they get pulled away. Every single solitary one of them died in unbelief because they did not have faith. They did not believe in Jesus to the salvation of their soul. Every single solitary one of them. You read on over here, it says, "For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should hear and see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." All those that have actually heard, and they believed, and they trusted, those will be the ones that one of these days will be in heaven because of their belief. People can talk about their beliefs all day long. They can talk about their beliefs until the sun goes down. But the most important and the most true belief is that belief in Jesus. You can call yourself whatever you want to, but if you've never, ever believed in Jesus Christ until your soul salvation, then you will die in unbelief. And hell will be your home. In all these parables here, we find as you read through this 13th chapter, and I would advise anybody and everybody to read through these parables, but there are things that is brought out in here and about over here towards the last of it. There's a little clause that's in it in here. Just like this in the 49th and 50th verse, "And so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." After each one of those things that is presented, and I believe that all those that was presented in that parable of the sower is a teaching of those either believe or unbelief in Jesus, and with those that there is a consequence when you get down to the end of it, that each and every one of them has to understand that at the end of the world the angels is going to come forth and He's going to sever the wicked from among the just. Bible teaches that on that day that when He comes that He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, doesn't He? The sheep will be on the right and the goats on the left, or vice versa, however that is. Sheep's going to be on one side and the goats is going to be other. There's going to be a distinction. There's going to be a separation. There are going to be those that died in unbelief and those that died believing in Christ. There's going to be those that died and suffered and burned eternally in a devil's hell, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. Now that's what the Bible teaches. If I say anything else, if I try to sugarcoat it or make it sweet, make death seem good, then it will not have its effect. if I could. If there was anything at all that I could do, anything that was within me, if I could believe and trust in Jesus to the salvation of my soul, that's what I wanted to do. Because I wanted to do whatever I could do to get away from that horrible place that I heard about. Hell is a horrible place. But heaven is so beautiful. It is good. It is great. It's where Jesus is. It's where God is. It's where all those that believe, all those that trusted in Him, that's where they're going to be. This morning, don't be one out of the three here that died in unbelief as where the Word is. Be one of the ones that the ground was good, that you were willing to open up your ears, you was willing to believe and do whatever you needed to do, and that you was willing to bow down, that you was willing to put away your pride, put everything behind you, family, friends, whatever it took, that you was willing to do whatever it took, that one day that heaven might be your home. I'm telling you, that's what you got to do this morning. Please don't be one of those ones that dies in unbelief. The ratio here was 1 out of 4. 1 out of 4. I don't know what the ratio was in the world at the beginning to you when Noah, how many people died because they didn't believe Noah in his preaching. I don't know how many people have died down through time up until this very moment that we're standing in, that is in a devil's hell now, wishing that they'd listened. Wishing that they would have just believed, that they would have took time to bow and seek God until they found Him. Look, time on this earth is short, people. Time on this earth is short. We just have a very few days in accordance with the time that of the span of eternity that never ends. We have a limited day and a limited time. That little dash on the tombstone is the time that we have that's in between the beginning date and the ending date. That's how much time we got. Or until the Lord comes back, if that comes first. We don't have the choice to choose the time when we want to do it. I believe that the Lord convicts and convinces people of their sins. I believe this morning that the Lord is here. I believe that His presence is here. And I believe that if you're here this morning and you know that you are an unbeliever, that you need to seek God. The Bible tells us that the Lord is nigh to those who are of a broken heart, save as such of a contrite spirit. Broken and crushed. That's how I came to the Lord. I came to Him as nothing and nobody. And I don't feel much more than that this morning. But I know I have salvation. I know I have believed. I know I have a home. I know I have a home in heaven. I know it. I want everybody here to know it. You can know it this morning. You can know if you've believed. You can know. But you gotta come to the Lord. You gotta come to Him. All these people that I've mentioned this morning, they squandered their time, they squandered their opportunities. They did not believe in God. And the power of unbelief is what sent them to a devil's hell. That power that's within each and every one of us this morning. We all have that power to not believe. We all have that power to die and go to a devil's hell.
There's a person does not have to choose hell to go there. We don't have to choose it. We don't have to pick it. All we've got to do is do nothing. All we got to do is just sit back and wait on time. Wait for time. Well, tomorrow will be maybe another day. Tomorrow maybe will be another opportunity. Tomorrow I can do something else that will get my mind off of these things about heaven and hell. I can just get my mind, if I can just get my mind off of it, I can run from it. All people have to do to be an unbeliever is not believe in Jesus, not trust in Him to the salvation of your soul. You know, you think about in the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were all a lot of religious people, a lot of religious men that died in unbelief. It doesn't make any difference if you call yourself religious, holy, or righteous, or whatever. When God looks down in your heart, if you have never believed, if you've never trusted on Him to the salvation of your soul, you're just like all the rest of them. You just might as well have been an axe murderer or a killer or molester or anything else as horrible as you can think of. That's what you might as well have been. And I don't care if you've been to church every day of your life since you was born. If you've never believed in Jesus and never been saved, hell will be your home. Wow, that's hard to think about, isn't it? Have you believed this morning? Have you trusted in Jesus this morning? Do you know where you stand before God this morning? If something happened to you when you left this building, do you know where you would be? Would you be in that side that believed, or would you be on the side that didn't believe? These are things I want you to ask yourself. These are things that I want you to think about. I want you to ponder on these things this morning if you don't know. I want you to just consider these things in your heart, because eternity is a long, long, long time that never ends. So you can either have joy and pleasure and goodness in eternity in heaven with God and Jesus, or you can have eternal misery. Whereas it says right here, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire never ends, and the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. Over here, the Apostle Paul says something in the 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. It says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And I said this last week, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I hope this morning I have persuaded you to consider your soul's condition. See, that's all I can do is try to persuade you, to try to get you to think and understand, where do I stand before this Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth? When the Lord looks down in my heart, am I one that has believed? Have I trusted in Him? And I believe if you have, you know, because I do. Because there's something there that I feel, that I can know, that I can understand. That's the reason we say we believe in a personal salvation. So you can't, if you just trust and you seek God, it's personal between you and God. If there's anybody in the middle, they'd give you somebody to blame, wouldn't it? If you're just seeking God and you never find Him, you die in unbelief, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I promise you, if you die and go to a devil's hell, it'll always be your fault. It's not going to be God's, that He would have all to come to repentance. When you get your heart right before Him, very moment, that's when He saved you. That's the way it was for me. It didn't happen the first time. You think about, I just want to read this. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. We have a perfect example here in this writing. It's just the way it happens. Just exactly the way it happens. This poor man that didn't have a thing while he was here on this earth, he died and he opened his eyes up and he was in heaven. And then there was this rich man that had everything probably that he could ever want while he was here on this earth. Cared more about the things of this earth, cared more about the things of this world than to believe and trust him in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the salvation of his soul. He opened his eyes and as soon as he opened his eyes, he opened them up in hell. See, that's how fast it is. That's how quick it is. There's not a second chance. There's not time to think it over. There's not time to redo it. It's an immediate judgment set upon you. You've either believed this morning or you have not believed. If you have not believed, if you have not trusted in Jesus to the salvation of your soul, I would plead with you this morning that you might just bow down, that you might come to this old mourner's bench, and that you would fall upon your face, and that you would call up to God, and that you would ask Him that He might save your wretched soul this morning. I would just beg you to take the time that God has given you this morning, that you would just call on Him. And I want you to know there ain't nothing embarrassing about it, because each and every one of us has been saved by God's grace and have had to do that. We might not have ended up here in front of a church or something. Might not have got saved at church, and I did. But I promise you, if you want to be saved bad enough, you'll be willing to fall upon your face and you won't be afraid to know who cares and who's watching. You need to be saved this morning. Time is of the utmost importance, because we're not guaranteed how much time that we have. We persuade men because we know the terror of the Lord. I know the terror. I know what it feels like to be lost, seeking God and looking for Him. I know what it feels like. I've been there and I've done that. All that have been saved, all that have believed in Him, know that. This morning, if you're here and you don't believe, you've never trusted in Jesus, please take this time and this opportunity. Seek Him today. I pray, dear God, that you'll do that, that you might be found. Brother Bert, let's have a song. Let's have an invitation. If you want to seek the Lord, come and seek Him. If you want to bow down where you're sitting, bow down where you're sitting. Just please take the opportunity to do that.
So turn to page 123, sing the first, second, and last verse. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why there's no other
some chance, there are those that here today that are lost, that they might know and understand in their heart that they've not believed, they've never trusted on the Lord. I just pray you search your own heart. Search your own heart. Find you somewhere that you can talk to the Lord. Find you somewhere to pray that you can get things right with Him. That you can get your heart right with Him. Please, please take the time and opportunity that God has given you to do that. Please don't die in unbelief. Please do not die in unbelief. God bless you this morning. I appreciate everyone that's come this way. I'm just, once again, so thankful for all of you and for all your prayers. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart.
Appreciate the message.
Anything else? If not, everybody that's here, we've got all kinds of food. This is our fifth Sunday for anybody that might be visiting. And this is our fifth Sunday. We have lunch after service, and all that are visiting with us, we would love to have you stay and eat with us. We want you to feel welcome here at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to stay and eat with us and fellowship. And there's plenty of food down there. And just so I hope and pray that after the service over that you'll come down and join us and eat. All hearts and minds free.
Hello, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul, and that I believed enough that you reached out to save me. I'm just thankful for that. I enjoyed your message. I wanted to just give us a little reminder that the Gilray need forms for camp. And this is, the church is paying for this. This is available for anybody from the age of 8 and up. It's a 6-day camp. I'm pretty sure everybody that went last year, except possibly Miranda, won't be going, but the rest of us are going. And this is a week full of God's blessings continuously. It'll be the best thing that your child will have ever done and ever been a part of. I have copies laying up here. I just need it back by next week if I can. I got a little bit more time if we have some last-minute people that do the schedules, decide, hey, I didn't sign up, but I can go. We can do that last minute, but we save a little bit of money. The church will if we can go ahead and try to get these in next week. So I'll have them here. If you don't pick one up, if you get it or whatever, just email me. I'll send you a copy. And then on another vein, as far as the food's concerned, this is not average food. So these ladies can cook, get us some fine food, and they do not want to take home with them. They don't. So please stay. I know we have a lot of visitors, and I know sometimes when you're visiting the church, you're not always comfortable with going down and being part of that, but we truly mean it from the bottom of our hearts that we want you to join us, get to know us, spend a little time with us.
Absolutely.
And we think that it'll be an answer to our prayers, because by your presence, I know your answer to mine.
Amen. Certainly appreciate that. Anyone else?
Hey, Brad, this is speaking this afternoon, so I want to talk.
The who puts what?
Beckwith Quartet.
Beckwith Quartet?
Gateway at 2.
Okay. All right. Singing over Gateway starts at 2. Anybody would like to go? The Beckwith Quartet. Anyone else? If not, all standing will be dismissed. And certainly been good to be in the Lord's house today. Appreciate every one of you. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss service and then ask a blessing over the meal too, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's day that you blessed us with. Heavenly Father, for the church service, for the armor, for the message that you brought, the truth that you preached. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there was your one here today, Lord, that let me not preach for our sin, that we might have its free voice in our hearts. Pray, Heavenly Father, for the rest of this made, Lord, that you just bless each set of circumstances. And Lord, we just thank you for meeting with us and being with us and for saving our soul. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless the food and that we take it up, Lord, and nourish our body. Bless each home to represent, but each hand that prepared it. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our errors, and mistakes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen.